Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I'm gonna keep on a walking, keep on a talking, marching up to freedom land.
We hope to send into Mississippi this summer upwards of 1,000 teachers, ministers, and students from all around the country who will engage in what we're calling Freedom Schools, Community Center programs, voter registration activities, and in general, a program designed to open up Mississippi to the country.
That's Bob Moses, a driving force behind the Mississippi Summer Project. In June 1964, training would take place in Oxford, Ohio, for what became better known as Freedom Summer. Much of the preparation was designed to educate volunteers about what was awaiting them in Mississippi. Charlie Cobb, a field secretary for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, also known as SNCC, is the author of a new book titled, This Nonviolent Stuff Will Get You Killed. He had been on the ground in Mississippi for a year and would remain for four more. He describes the state volunteers were preparing to enter.
What was happening in Mississippi was becoming increasingly murderous. We couldn't get the country to pay attention to it. Certainly, we couldn't get the country's leadership to pay attention to this situation. I mean, aside from that, you know, the usual range of discriminatory facts, denial of the right to vote, segregation into public accommodations, grinding poverty, a system really that kept people in debt peonage, for all practical purposes enslaved to a plantation system or an economic system that benefited a tiny few. But heading this list, clearly, the Mississippi that preceded the 1964 Summer Project was extremely murderous toward anyone seeking social change or civil rights.
Jim Cates, who had just completed his freshman year at Wesleyan University in Connecticut, describes meeting up with and getting down to the task at hand in Oxford.
What I can realize is that it was not only for me coming in and meeting up with a Southern African American community on one level, but also for those of us who came from so many different backgrounds in the United States, among the whites even, that we were first meeting up with people who were very different from us, even within the white community. So that Jewish kids from Queens suddenly being placed in a very intimate relationship with the children of Protestant ministers from Nebraska was almost in a small rural campus in Ohio, say for some of the students who had come from Yale or Stanford, privileged families. All of this was already a mix. And some of the most valuable things we began to learn was, how do I face someone who is not concerned with how bright I am, who doesn't want to get into an argument, but wants to work through on a deeper, lower level what the problems are. It doesn't come from the background, if it's a nice day, take either side, because the problems are too serious. You don't want to take either side. You want to take one side and stick with it. And all of these things were cultural elements among ourselves that we had to resolve in great tension during those weeks.
The training would prove essential for Cates. He ended up working alongside Native Mississippians in rural Panola County in the effort to register voters. Rick Momeyer, just graduated from Allegheny College in Pennsylvania, had been planning to help register voters in Georgia. He had already gotten to know John Lewis, chairman of SNCC, during a semester spent with movement leaders in Nashville. Lewis redirected Momeyer to Oxford to help.
You can pass on what you know about nonviolent strategy and tactics and how to defend yourself and why we're committed to nonviolence. My contribution was to get beat up. Right? I was the volunteer victim in the simulated play acting we did, running the gauntlet, and then how to fall down and protect your genitals in the back of your head, how to protect others who might be being attacked.
The training was hosted at the Western College for Women after Berea College in Kentucky pulled out late in the planning process. But not everyone in Oxford was embracing the mission. The Friends of the Mississippi Summer Project emerged midway through the training to provide support. Miami University professor Bob Stripple and his wife Jane were among the first to step forward.
The community was divided. There were many people who just didn't understand the purpose of it. They didn't really understand. And they were looking at the students at more as rabble-rousers. They wrote letters. There were letters in the newspaper about it. We weren't attacked or anything personally. I never experienced that. I just think they just thought it was not important and that it was controversial and that why our community was doing this, they just really didn't understand.
In spite of the local resistance, the Friends of the Mississippi Summer Project gathered up books and typewriters for the teaching effort in Freedom Schools. The group also raised money to be used for volunteers' living expenses and bail. At the end of the first week in Oxford, three participants would leave for Mississippi to investigate the bombing of a church. It had been designated to host a freedom school. Within 48 hours, they would vanish.
First, the known facts. James Cheney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Schwerner went to Mississippi to help register Negroes as voters. It had been stressed at the training school they had just completed that their purpose was not to stage sit-ins, marches, or demonstrations. It had also been stressed that the federal government could offer them little protection. Cheney, a 20-year-old Mississippian, was a veteran of the civil rights movement in his home state. He assisted in the training classes. Goodman, 20, a New York college student, had never participated in the civil rights movement, but a friend says Goodman could never understand how some people could be so lacking in compassion. Schwerner, 24, a seasoned New York social worker, left Mississippi, where he had worked since January, to assist in the training school at Oxford, Ohio.
Coming midway through the training, their disappearance brought a grim reality. Rita Schwerner, along with her husband Michael, had been working for the Congress of Racial Equality in Meridian, Mississippi. She was in Oxford when the news arrived. She urged volunteers to call relatives and demand that their representatives pressure the Justice Department for protection. It never came. As the first wave of participants left to head south, the second week of training continued, and nearly everyone stayed on.
Dug 'em down. Dug 'em down. Dug 'em down. Dug 'em down.
The Western College for Women was absorbed by Miami University in 1974. The Freedom Summer Memorial, honoring the participants and supporters in Oxford and everyone who was part of the effort that summer in Mississippi, was dedicated in 2000 on the campus of Miami University. For WYSO's Community Voices, I'm Dave Barber.